pray together. Father, thank you today for your grace. I thank you, God, for great gifting. I thank you for great talent. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in this house today, that you have resided and come to do what no man could do. No man could ever utter words or say or do anything that could compare with what your intentions that you can do in just a few moments here. I pray your blessing. I thank you. We invite you, Lord, to have your way now. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. If you got a Bible with you, if your iPad, iPhone, Android, whatever you use, if you got the old-fashioned Bible with you, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. This is my theme verse for this series that I'm in, started last week, called Taking Inventory. And inventory is quite an incredible thought when you really ponder this for a while. I shared last week, I used to work for a company years ago by the name of the Home Depot, and about every 3 months, they would do what was called inventory. And that would be when every person that worked in that store would work morning, noon, night, and they would mark everything in that store that had value to it, whether it was for sale, whether it was just something in the store, like a light fixture, everything was marked down. So at the end of what was called inventory, there would be this long spreadsheet that would tell how much money, what was the value of what was in that four walls of that building. And for some, it would be great. It would also say things that were in the building that were unnecessary to have, too much of something, not enough of something else. It would tell how much was missing that was either stolen or it was misread when it was going through the register. However, but at the end of inventory, it would tell you everything and let you judge the performance of what your business, your store, your environment was doing for that last 3 months. And it was always amazing to see the numbers across the board. I was one of the managers at the time, so we'd see them from everywhere. And the store that I worked in, it would, over a course of a year, would lose nearly $800,000 to people stealing and to misread merchandise, whatever it was. But it was always amazing, and also to see in the different areas of the country where that number was bigger and where it was significantly smaller. And so it is with your life and mine, that when we look at the things that are in our lives, and we take inventory of what is in our lives, we can see things that should be there. We could see things that we're carrying around that we have that we really don't need, and things that we're lacking on that we should really intend to have more of. And the Bible says, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, in the New American Standard Bible, he says, He who is spiritual appraises all things. He takes inventory, yet he himself is praised by no one. Because when you appraise, when you take inventory of your life, no one else will have to. And the reason sometimes other people have to is because we are not. And as we move towards this new season, another season that we're going through, both in the natural and in the spiritual, and you don't have to be a news junkie like I am to see that we are living in a cultural climate like never before, like we have never, ever seen ever before. Things are changing. Things are moving at a rate that is mind-boggling. And we need to check the inventory in our lives. And we need to make sure that we are living according to the principle of what God has established for us to live in, so that we're not overly burdened down by things that we don't need and lacking on things, deficient of what we do need. I get a blood test every few months, and when the doctor looks at it, if I'm taking the right supplements and eating right, he looks, you're good in this, you're good in this, you're good in this, you're good in, he says, you're a little low in this, you should take more of this. And he says, over here, you're really high in this. Why are you so high? And I says, will that high hurt anything? He said, no, But he says it's a waste of money if you're taking it. You don't need any more of it. Inventory. And as we live in this time that we're in, if I ever hear a common thread among people, it's they say, I am stressed out. I've got way too much stress in my life. And last week I talked about, are we living in the last days? And we are. We are living in our last days, because whether Christ comes in a year, 10 years, 50 years, or 200 more years, you and I are living in our last days. In Peter wrote, he says, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, later on this afternoon, in the clock that God looks at, you and I will face eternity. We are living in our last day. But I want to focus today on the subject of stress. Research has shown several things that stress is a normal feeling. Stress also in small amounts can help you get things done. It will push you to be more effective. But in a negative way, stress affects people even in their physical. It causes their heart rate to beat faster. It causes them to skip a heartbeat. It causes them to have rapid breathing. Sounds like me when I look at my wife in the morning. You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. Sweating, trembling, dizziness, stress, dry mouth, loss of focus, can't fall asleep, losing your temper. And many people have stress in their life when they fail to adapt or change in the direction that they are called to change. Now, I'm not minimizing that some people, they're going through stress in their life from a whole myriad of things. But for some of us, God is calling you and I to make some changes in our lives. And because we are not adapting, because we are not doing that, we are stressed out. When all we need to do is maybe make the adjustment, make the change, so that we can live a more stress-free life. And although medication may help, it may also hurt. We are in an epidemic of not only illegal use of drugs, but the legal over-the-counter drugs that people are using and have gone out of control with. I have this condition. It's called essential trembling. And one of my hands, if I hold something hot, it'll shake. And I've been to the doctor. There's really nothing you can do. I've become more of a left-handed person with certain things now. And the last time I went to the doctor said, I want to give you this medicine, this help. He said, now, be careful. It's related to a barbiturate. And I thought, oh, my Lord. I took one of them things. I thought I was in another world. I called him and I said, what are you trying to do to me? Are you trying to get me high, put me on? I can't take this stuff. What he said was going to help hurt me more. That's a word to somebody today. What relieves the stress for some is not the same for everyone. Making certain lifestyle changes is the best start. And you need to think about what may it be that's giving you stress in your life. Proverbs 17:24 says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. And when we're taking inventory of our lives, where are we in this? Because we are overwhelmed by stress. When that happens, our resistance becomes lower. And when this is experienced, when your resistance is lowered, you will be in a position to make the worst decisions and choices of your life. Hear me. When you are stressed to the max and you are not doing what you need to take care of it, your resistance is lowered and your guard is lowered as well. You'll do things and commit to things that you never would if your mind was sharp and straight. Luke 21:34 says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you suddenly like a trap. Come on, how many of you know that we don't get a message in the mail saying, next week you're going to be stressed out. Just want you to know that ahead of time. No, it comes to us. And if you're not prepared for it, it'll close in on you like a trap. when the inventory in our life is out of balance as well, it caused my emotions to be inconsistent. One day happy, the next day miserable, flying off the handle, tempered, just acting out of sorts. I learned that last week. We were driving into New York City, and I was tired, and I came into the city there, and the traffic, they had some, I don't know, something going on in Manhattan. There was 400,000 extra people, and I got in the middle of it. And the cars were stopped, and they weren't moving. I'm a country boy. We move. If there's an opening, we go. We don't stop. I got so frustrated. My wife is over here laughing at me. And I'm wanting to park the car. I literally put it in park. I was going to get out, walk up three cars and say, "Move, Bubba, what's going on?" Until in the moment, I realized my emotions were out of control. And my wife helped me to realize that as well. Amen. Job 9:25 says, "My days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without me seeing any joy." You ever felt like that? Stress. And then it affects the productivity in my life. Listen to this. You may think you're doing more, but by doing more, sometimes you're actually doing less. I think about the principle of the axe or the saw. Years ago, when I was a teenager and the first time I got my hand on a chainsaw, I thought I was going to be the guy that cut up the most wood. And my father-in-law and I were out cutting this tree up. And I was cutting away, and boy, I was going, and I was sweating. And he's over there just calmly cutting, and then all of a sudden he stops. And he's over there sharpening his blade. And I thought, I'm going to cut so much more than him. And all of a sudden, just in a few minutes, I'm going away on the piece of wood, and the saw's not moving. I'm thinking, man, that wood must be hard. And he's over at the other end just going through it like this. You know what the difference was? He stopped to sharpen his saw. And the reason that some of you aren't getting anything done or you're continually running around in circles and you're running into yourself is because you are not stopping to sharpen the saw in your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but its skill will bring success." I want to tell somebody today, maybe your answer to the dilemma that you're in, it's just to stop for a moment and sharpen your saw. And then the next thing that stress does, it causes my life to lose its meaning. And God has made the sweet spot for you and I to live in and to dwell in. And when we're outside of that, we lose the meaning of what He has created and called us to do. Psalm 39:6 says, "We are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing." And I'm thinking yesterday of a message that I heard years ago about a man that quoted this, and he says, "Your life is like a song that a lady used to sing years ago by the name of Peggy Lee." And the name of the song is "That All There Is?" Because when our life is just going around in circles, a year goes by, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, and all of a sudden we stop and we look and we say, "Is that all there is?" Because our life loses meaning when we're stressed all the time and we're not allowing the things of God to come into us and to change us. And then the worst part of it is stress causes my relationship with God to become very distant. Because all kinds of things are screaming for my attention. And I don't stop to sharpen my relationship with Him. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "It's better to have a little and peace of mind than to be busy all the time." Come on, I want to ask you today. Are you taking care of you? Are you taking care of yourself? Now, listen, I know there's probably a couple different schools of thought here today. There's probably some here, you've never been stressed over anything in your life, and you're thinking maybe this is a reason for you not to be stressed. That's not good. You need to engage in some things that'll cause you to be productive. But I'm talking to some that you're so busy and you're trying to do everything that you're not really accomplishing what God has called you to do, and you need a time before the Lord. This Old Testament scripture in Exodus 20 and verse 8 talks about what is called the Sabbath day. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, your animals or your foreigner residing in your towns, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens. Look at this. And the earth, the sea, and all that was in them. Look at. But he, God, rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. What's he saying here? He's saying that he gave you a certain amount of time to do what you needed to do. But he says, there is a time, there is a day that is a Sabbath, and you're to keep it holy. Now, that might not be a Sunday for you. You might be busy like I am, but it must be a day where you stop and you come before the Lord and you rest and you rejuvenate. I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a moment. But I was thinking about this when I was on the farm, a young boy. I was a dairy farmer with my father-in-law. And when I first got saved and I got this verse, I thought, does that mean the cows are going to stop milking on Sunday? Does that mean we're going to have a day off? And how many, I don't know if there are any dairy men in here, cows don't quit on Sunday. And neither do we. But my father-in-law always told me this. He said, when we get done with what we have to do, he said, we're going to rest. And he wouldn't care if there was hay on the ground ready to bale on Sunday afternoon and it was calling for rain on Monday. He'd say, we're not going to touch it. It's the Lord's day. We're going to keep it holy. And you know what I found out? That at the end of the year, that we would be giving the neighbors around us feed that we'd have an overabundance of, and they wouldn't have enough. And I'd say to my father-in-law, why are you giving that to them? They were doing all these things that you said not to. And he says, that's why you and I are blessed. We're going to give it away. And I thought, my goodness, there's a principle within that. That if you keep what God says holy unto him, that he will bless. Come on, are you hearing me on this today? He will bless the rest of your life. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 11. In the New Testament, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work. Because when you rest from your work, you make a decision that you can trust God with that moment in life that he will take care of things that you're not able to. Just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest of God. So when you and I walk with him and we obey him and our dependency is upon him, then he begins to do things that we can't do. So what do we do? How do we get there? I'm going to close with just a couple thoughts. Number one, you got to learn to rest your body. You got to learn to disconnect. You got to learn to stop. The Bible says in Psalm 127:2, in vain, you rise early and you stay up late. You toil for food to eat. But the Bible says he grants sleep to those he loves. God will give you rest. You can stay up late, get up early. You could go all this and think, man, I'm a mighty man. I could do all of this. But you can't. You need a time of rest before the Lord. And the rest, what is rest for you might not be rest for someone else. What you enjoy, what you do resting might not be the same for someone else. The second thing is I must replenish my soul. This is so important. Jeremiah 31:25 says, for I have satiated the weary soul. I've replenished every sorrowful soul. Fills it. He meets your need. How? He does it with quietness. Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. God does this. He does it with enjoyment. And what I want just to ask you, what's fun for you? What do you enjoy? Because it's not the same for everyone. I gotta tell you something today. I hate golf. And I got so many friends that want me to golf. And I've golfed with guys. I golfed with Steve Tasker. I hit the ball from here to the wall. And he stood there and says, man, that was a great swing. I thought, you a lying. You get on TV and say, trust this one. You're lying to me right now, brother. They hit that ball so far, they're looking. I can't even see the ball. It's going through trees, over hills, down. And I wanted to take my golf clubs and beat every one of them because I hated that. I'd rather go through 3 years in the tribulation than play golf. I loathe that game. Praise the Lord. But you said you want to go for a tour on a dairy farm where I could smell some great manure, some fresh haylage or corn silage, smell the cows, walk in the milk parlor. That's enjoyment for me. Deal with it. It's what I like. I love to go to Disney World with my grandkids. That's enjoyment for me. What's enjoyment for you might not work for them. I've had friends, they take me out. Come on, Marty, we're going to go golf. We're going to have a great time. No, I'm not. I hate golf with a passion. Excuse me, I just got off track a little bit there. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit drives up the bones. You need to replenish your soul with quietness, with enjoyment, and with people. I love to be around people. It doesn't matter. I like to be around nice people, not mean people. Nice people. Most of the people I'm around are nice. Most. No, they're nice. But this is God's plan for your life, to be around people. People will lift you. You get around the right people, they will bring you joy. They will lift you up. They will speak life into you. There are people that when you get around them, they'll say things to you that will encourage you and lift you up. People around you is a part of the world that God has placed you and I in to build you up. Don't isolate yourself and think, I just don't want to be around no one. Be around the right people. They will bless you. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not give up meeting together as the manner of some, but even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. You need people in your life that will help you and that will encourage you and that will replenish your soul. Come on, how many of you believe that today? Debbie, come on up and last, number three. If you're stressed out, you got to learn to refocus your spirit, not on something else, but on the Lord. Amen. Hear me this morning. You can get involved in a whole myriad of stuff, but if your heart isn't focused on God and the things that God wants you to do, you're just running in circles. And God brought you and I here together today to learn. If we didn't learn anything else today, and if you're stressed out and you just can't handle anymore, my brother and sister, your inventory is out of balance and you need a work of God's Holy Spirit in your life to lift you out of that and bring hope and encouragement and the help to get you through. Because if you don't, you're not good to anyone. You're not good. If your axe is dull, you're not only working harder, you're not even providing the supply to where you are called to work. I want to just talk to a dad here today, maybe a mom. You're so busy, you're going in so many directions, you think you're doing good. But maybe your answer today is to stop, to slow down, refocus back on God here for a moment and see what He wants you to do. I'm going to close reading this psalm. Listen to it. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day, for the day of your rest. David says, it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name. O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. It's good to praise the Lord. Verse 10 says, he says, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox, being one of the strongest beasts of the field. He said, God, you've exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils, they've been poured all over me. Where? From the presence of the Lord, from replenishing my soul in quietness with others, with people that speak life into my life, with enjoyment, with things that help me to refocus back on the Lord. Verse 12, he says, the righteous, because of it, they'll flourish like a palm tree. Do you know a palm tree can grow in the middle of a desert, that he can be beating down on it? It could even suffer fire, but it'll still be growing in the midst of that. Palm trees also have the propensity, when storms in life come, to bend over and to come right back where they started from. You'll flourish like a palm tree when you spend time with God. He said they'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Be planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And I think I like the last part of this verse the most. They'll still bear fruit in an older age. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I like this. They'll still stay fresh and green. I want to say this to everybody that's over 60, 70, 80. You're still fresh and you're green. Amen. You're blessed. You'll flourish when you trust in Him. He'll keep you looking fresh and green. He'll heal your body. He'll restore your soul. He'll make you to lie down in green pastures. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. Come on, are you happy in God today? Come on, do you love Him today? Close your eyes with me. Bow your head all over this house. No one moving, just for a moment. I just want to close. This is such an important moment in the house of God today. I just want to tell you that if you've never given your heart to Christ, you'll always be stressed. There is no peace. No peace. You'll always be wondering and worrying, what about my eternal destiny? Oh, you can shrug it off for a moment, but I want you to know there will be a day. You'll be saying, what about this? What about that? Today is a moment in your life where God says, you not only don't have to live a bound up, stressful life, you can give your life to Christ and you'll be freer than you've ever been before. Some of you have already done that, and you've let so many cares and so many things of the world come in and try to derail you off of the destiny that God has on your life. Who am I talking to in here today? Who, moreover, is the Spirit of the living God speaking to today? Things, your inventory is way off kilter, and God says, today is the day that I want to bring all that back. I want to help you with that. God, I ask you now, just in the next few moments as we're here today, God, you will do what no one else can do in their own strength. Spirit of the Most High God, have your way in every heart and in every life today for your glory and for your honor. If you're here today, you've never given your heart to Christ. You can do that right where you're at today. You can ask Him to come in. If you're here today and your inventory is off, something that you heard in the Word of God today just quickened your heart. You said, I got to work on that. This has got to be an area I've got to do better in. I want to pray for you right where you're at today. I want to ask the Lord to help you right where you're at today. If you've never given your life to Christ, this is your moment. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I want everyone to pray this with me today. Every person. And if you've never given your life to Christ, this is for you today. Pray with this. Pray this prayer with me all over. I want everybody, saved, unsaved, those who want Christ into their life, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, this is my day. I've come to you for such a time as this. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, and make me brand new. God, I want you to live in my life. I ask you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Today, I will live for you. Today, I will cut stress from my life. And I will receive you and you alone as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you, Christ, for coming into my life, changing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on. That's awesome today. Come on, do you love him today? I love God today. In a few moments, I want to receive the missions offering now. In a few moments, I'm going to have the prayer folk come down.